Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com, worldwide. My guest, Niall O'Leary, is from Dublin, Ireland. Well, he was a dub, and then all of a sudden, he got up one day and wound up in New York City. Niall, you're very welcome to the program.
Adrian, thank you so much. Delighted to finally have made it on your radio show after all these years.
Let me ask you, though. First of all, I'd like to tell our listeners, if you haven't heard of Niall O'Leary and, an All-Ireland and world champion Irish dancer, that me past president of the Irish Business Organization in New York, and a friend of ours for as far back as we can remember. Niall O'Leary, you've no boundaries at all. Every time we figure, well, that should be it, no, he's added on something else. You come up with another one. You know, it's terrific. Tell us, though, about leaving Dublin. And when you were coming to New York, you came as a practicing architect. So at what point was it before or after you left Dublin to come here, did you have that yen not only to be a champion dancer with great credentials, but to open not just a school, but a bunch of schools? Take it from there.
Great, Adrian, thanks. Yeah, so I came over in 1996, and originally I came over for the summer. And so I was thinking, I'll just check out New York for the summer and see how it's going. And I'd already committed to performing in a festival in Blackpool in England in October that year, which I did go back to perform in. Then I came back to New York again. Then I went home. I did a Christmas pantomime, a Sleeping Beauty sort of, with Twink and Jerry Ryan and Barney the Dinosaur in the Point Theatre where Riverdance started. There was a whole big, like, Riverdance-type line of dancers in it. And then I came back again in January. And I remember my architecture boss at the time calling me up in Dublin. He said, I thought you said you were coming back on January the 4th. And I said, no, January the 24th. And so he had given me this extended amount of time off, unbeknownst to himself, so that I was able to do a little bit of dancing while I was home. And then the dancing school, basically I got asked to teach a few different places. People heard that there was this new guy in town. And then I had one dancing student originally, Dara Carr. And then I was teaching private classes to a young girl out in Queens, Mairead McInerney. And her mother said to me, why don't we start a dancing school? And that's really how it started. And so it's been flying ever since. And we had a few rough years there, like everyone else, during the pandemic. And we're back now, you'd say, approaching, like, we're expanding again. And so we're getting back to the numbers we had before and hopefully expanding as well. And we've classes at the moment in New York City, in Miami, Florida, in Mexico, and in Gulfport, Mississippi. And we're starting a new location in Philadelphia and possibly one or two other locations as well. So it's great. I really enjoy participating in the culture and imparting the knowledge that I've gained over the years and giving it on to younger dancers and young and older dancers as well. We have a lot of children and a lot of adults who are really good in our dancing school. And it's just great to be able to pass on the culture.
You know, it would be easier to make a short list of the places worldwide that you haven't performed than to start listing off the places you
that
have.
That may be the case, David, yeah.
But, you brought Irish dance, Irish culture to definitely higher, a new and higher level. Something that we haven't seen in many a long year. Irish dancing and Irish dancing schools are not a new phenomenon. They have been Irish dancing schools at all levels for a long time, and it's obviously the dance portion, in addition to music, is very much a part of our culture. But we would be interested in knowing, you know, starting from the beginning. We've heard many times, you know, that Niall O'Leary is not just a dance instructor, an organizer, and as you pointed out yourself there, to stretch from Manhattan, you know, to Mexico is no small feat. But having said that, a lot of people say there is a Niall O'Leary dance style, which you know, is a compliment. And for those who know much more, you know, about dancing and the teaching of dancing, it's would you agree that you have a style that would make it fairly obvious to people in the know that that's an O'Leary program, if there ever was one?
Yeah, I'd say now that certainly when I started performing, and when I came to New York first, I was doing a lot of shows with Dara Carr. We still performed together.
Yeah.
And a number of people said, what you're doing is different to what other people are doing. And so that was the first thing that people were like, it's a little different. And so we were just making a new take on Irish dancing. And definitely we're very aware of the performance aspect of the dance, which you'd say has been blown out of the water since Riverdance, in the sense that, you know, people are much more about giving it more of a performance value. So I suppose maybe I was very aware of that for many years, and just giving it a bit of style. And, you know, there, I would have to say I'm part of a continuum of many dancing teachers and performers worldwide who are pushing the envelope in basically asking the question, what is Irish dance? And I find that, like, there's many people are innovating, and I'm very fortunate that particularly here in New York City, we get a lot of opportunities to perform, whereas a lot of dancing schools are kind of almost working away behind closed doors, in that they generally are not performing for the general public as often as we get to perform. And that's the great thing about New York City. We get to do performances for Irish events and also so many non-Irish events. And we have a professional dance troupe that do corporate dinners and weddings and all kinds of things. So there's so much opportunity to perform. And I feel we're out in the community a lot more than other dancing schools. And we're just lucky we've had the opportunities to perform. So I would say, like, yes, we've our own style, but we're also representing a whole other group of people who don't get to perform as often as we do. We're very aware of that as well, you know.
And now, this is not part-time. We know that you, as an architect, for most people, that would nearly do you as a career. But this, you're just plowing away as if you were trying to gather next month's rent. You know, it's an amazing success story. And tell me, though, about private classes, workshops, you know, the various types of dancing, and what's the age group that you cater to?
Yeah, Adrian, so I would say over the years we've got dancing students as young as 3. Well, we've had a couple of 2-year-olds, but in terms of people who've stuck with it for a while, we definitely have had quite a few 3-year-olds, and we have dancers in their 70s, and I've even taught people in their 80s. And so, like, you're never too old to dance. And the idea is that everyone can have a fun experience and learn something as well, you know. So we're all about that. So I suppose you'd say the core activity we do is what is known as Irish step dancing, where the arms are held by the side and the legs are moving really quickly. But we do other versions of it as well. And so I've taught a little bit of Shannos dancing, the older style as well. And we teach Ceilidh dancing, where the arms are moving in exact synchronization. And then we also do dance drama. Our dance school has presented a dance drama in the World Championships in the past, and we're also looking to do it in the future. And then there's other things I do. There's a style of dance that I've kind of coined called Celtic Tap Improv, where you're taking contemporary Irish dancing moves, like the latest kind of rhythmic footwork, and you're kind of relaxing the arms a little bit, and you're improvising, which is not a thing. Improvising is not a thing in Irish dancing competition. It's frowned upon, essentially, because the idea is that you go up on stage and you perform a routine that you've learnt and that has been choreographed, and you perform it exactly correctly. And whereas improvising, obviously, has a different feel altogether, where you're really working with the music, you're listening to the music, and you're trying to react to the music in a certain way. And I suppose how I developed this was I've been very fortunate to perform with some great bands, and the foremost of them being the late Mick Maloney's ensemble, Green Fields of America. And he was always amazing at gathering some of the best musicians on the planet in Irish music, and I've got to perform with them for many years. And just when you're dancing to good music, you kind of come up with different ideas. You know, it kind of appeals to the higher cerebral regions, and so the music and the dancing go so well together, and I'm all about the connection between the two, you know. So we offer many different kinds of Irish dancing, and it's all about having a great experience on the dance floor. And people who say to me, oh, I have two left feet, I can't dance, I say back to them, you're my ideal student. Because somebody who thinks they can dance, sometimes they actually can't. But if somebody who says they can't dance, I'm like, I can actually train you.
You know, you have, and continue, you mentioned some of the events that that you and your students, a lot of the places that you've gone. I would like to list off a couple of them, like the school, your school, performs annually at the St. Patrick's Day Parade. Carnegie Hall is like your local, you know, Radio City Music Hall, Jacob Javits Center, you know, and New York City Irish Dance Festival. Let me ask you about the staying power of those who take up Irish dancing. Obviously, it is so much a part of the Irish-American tradition. But what happens when kids get to be teenagers, or they're now a different environment, they're heading off to college, they're... Mm-hmm. What is the pattern there? Do they return to that? Is this something like riding a bicycle? You can't undo, you know, the talent of dancing.
Yeah, I think so, you know, and the thing is that I find nowadays, more than any other time, people have pressures of time and the pressures of life and the societal pressures of just so many distractions in the modern world. I find that to commit oneself to devoting your time to get good at something is a huge commitment. And that a lot of people, when they reach their teenage years, they're like, this is something I really love. I want to take more classes. I want to get really good. And then there's other people who are like, well, I'm not sure what I want to do. And there's other people who are like, I now want to commit my time to something else. You know what I mean? And there's certain things that you have to make decisions at. And we're fortunate that we have a number of dancers now who are in their teens who've got really good. And many of them actually danced all the way through the pandemic. And we were doing like shared private classes. We couldn't do public classes. And we couldn't do any classes for a while, so we were doing video classes and Zoom classes. But then as things started to open up, we were doing shared private classes with a small group of dancers, like distancing. And like some of these people now have got really good as a result, you know. And so I think then when people go off to college, there's a whole other pressure, you say. And yeah, we've a number of people who we train privately and who actually join our school then as well, who moved to New York City. And we train them in basically, you know, continuing to perfect and to learn new moves and to be able to compete or perform whatever they're looking to do, you know. So we don't tell everyone you have to compete. We basically tell them we want to train you to be as good as you can, and then you can perform or compete or whatever you want to do with it. And we create opportunities for people to perform, and there's plenty Irish dancing competitions, and we basically encourage people to do them if that's something they want to do, you know. And so, like, I think just the pressures of society now is the big thing that has changed over the years. I think before there wasn't as much pressure, and now I feel that people are overscheduled, and it's about trying to carve out time to attend dancing class and then just to practice as well. But the rewards are huge, and I think particularly somewhere like New York City, as you mentioned, all the venues we've performed at over the years, that, you know, to get to perform at a big occasion and to get the adrenaline rush, to feel the buzz of the occasion, the roar of the crowd, the appreciation, these are all things that I feel we value so much more now because we didn't have it for a couple of years. And, like, yeah. I found myself, like, I was missing just, you know, the buzz you get from performing. And I had to kind of nearly trick my mind into thinking that, you know, I was making a video for the New York City Irish Dance Festival, and I said to them, what's the last possible day that I can make this? And they direct, Thursday is the drop-dead deadline. And so I created a situation where this is it, I have to do it. I made it into a thing that I really gave myself an adrenaline rush out of nowhere just so that I could enjoy it more, you know? And now, like, we're back now performing in public, and it's so much fun and so such a great experience to perform in any occasion, but particularly, obviously, many of these big places we've performed at, and it's just, like, I don't know, it's one of the best feelings, I think, to be able to perform in a group, and the feeling of joy when you've actually trained for something and then you do it. It's amazing.
It is amazing. Now, to be registered with the CLRG or another organization, tell us what that's about.
So, yeah, so over the years, there has been various attempts, you'd say, to kind of introduce standards and, you know, ways of doing things in Irish dancing. And so the Irish Dancing Commission was in, I guess it was set up as a commission to inquire into the state of Irish dancing in the mid-1920s. And I think by 1928, I think, it was a statutory body as part of the Gaelic League, Cunar na Gaeilge, which had been founded in the end of the 19th century. And so, like, it was all about the commission, Irish Dancing Commission was about promoting the dancing, number one, but also promoting the music and the Irish language. And so there have been other Irish dancing teachers organizations have been set up in the meantime. And here in North America, we've got the Irish Dancing Teachers Association of North America, which has seven different regions, but they're affiliated with the Irish Dancing Commission. And there's some other different groups now that have set up. And so, like, it's all about, you say, trying to create and maintain standards and to foster the development of the dancing. And so we have regular teachers meetings where, like, some of them are very procedural and they sometimes get stuck on things. But a lot of the time we're discussing, like, what do we need to do? What initiatives do we need to create to get people to, you know, participate more and just to make the whole thing a better experience. So there's like loads of young teachers now who are getting involved in these committees, and it's a very exciting time. There was a huge influx of new members of the Irish Dancing Commission at their recent AGM. And so I would say, even though there's been some controversy recently with Irish dancing, there is huge potential for growth, and I do believe that the people who are running it have the best interest in it. And so I'm very hopeful that Irish dancing can continue to grow. There was a little bit of a lull, you'd say, since the days of Riverdance when everyone wants to do Irish dancing. It's like, you'd say there was a few quiet years, and the COVID definitely very quiet years, but now I think there's a whole buzz about it again, and I feel that, like, you know, Irish dancing is such a unique art form. The fact that you're keeping your arms still in the competitive dancing, certainly, and your legs are moving so quickly. And my two favourite things about the dancing, I would say, are syncopation and rhythmic variation. And so there's endless possibilities in terms of choreographing and footwork and different moves and just different rhythms. And so I find it endlessly amazing. And I'm often choreographing sitting on an airplane. I actually love flying because I'm there listening to music and choreographing while everyone else is probably wondering, when are we landing? But I love flying because I can do stuff.
You know, well, I think your motto and your goal is excellence in Irish dance, and perhaps that's one of the reasons, because, among other things, the Nilo Deary dance organization is actually, it's not only you the largest in New York City, but also the variety or the convenience of locations, even in New York City, which many would say local dancing schools traditionally have covered a fairly small area, but you have your locations, New York City, Manhattan, you have New York, Queens, Staten Island, and that's just in the New York area. Now, yeah. When you, what was the draw to Miami, Florida, other than it's a fantastic place to be to begin with?
It is. Well, what happened actually, one of our top dancers who danced in the World Championships, Jesse Gilday, he moved to Miami for work. And that's how we ended up in Miami. He said, why don't we start a class in Miami? And so, and now we've, one of our top dancers in Miami is actually moving to New York City to study dance as a ballet dancer. And so she's going to be learning Irish dance and ballet dancing in Miami. I said Irish dancing first because I'm a little biased, but she'll probably be spending more time on the ballet, but that's okay. So I joke with my dancers that there's two kinds of dancing in the world. There's Irish dancing and there's foreign dancing. Hmm. But that's okay.
Yeah. Is Kaylee music and dancing, is that the core for, you know, for Irish music as we know it and Irish dancing? And is that the tradition? Kaylee and then you go from there.
Yeah, so I think that the Kaylee dancing and like most people now would be doing set dancing, I suppose, socially. But the Kaylee, and the difference really, I suppose, would be that the Kaylee dancing, you're high on your toes and you're lifting your legs. Or as a friend of mine, Colin Walsh from Newmarket and Fergus said to me one time, he said, that kind of dancing you're doing, he says, in fact, in Clare, he says, we called it the shiny shoes dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you say that the music is, for set dancing and Kaylee dancing, it's pretty much the same. Sometimes it's a little faster for the set dancing, but I suppose you say all kinds of, you know, different versions of Irish music, whether it's a Kaylee band or a folk group. Like, I suppose groups like the Bothy Band, like, revolutionized, like, Irish music back in the 1970s. And there's a lot of people still playing their tunes at sessions and playing settings of their tunes. I was just talking to a guy last week about it. And so, like, there's so many versions. And now there's, like, you know, there's musicians who are not just from Ireland who are basically innovating with the music and putting all kinds of, like, trance effects on it. And you see, you know, kind of, not reinventing, but just having a new way of looking at it, you know. So the Kaylee music is what most people would have heard, I'd say, growing up in Ireland, but there's so many versions of it nowadays, they say, that, you know, and still, you can't beat a good Kaylee band with a drummer and a piano player and a few fiddles and flutes, I think, an accordion, of course.
Yeah.
It's like, just a great vibe to it, you know.
Let me ask you, Niall O'Leary, about, now, the in-person classes, obviously, no need to reinvent those. Those have been the traditional means of learning dancing in the first place. Now, Zoom classes and video classes, did that start with the onslaught of the pandemic, or was it taking off before then?
Yeah, so I never had to say the word in person before. It was just assumed, you know. But since the COVID, we've had to kind of define what we're doing. And I've been doing classes on video and particularly using, let's say, maybe Skype or other platforms over the years. I've been doing like, but there was the connection was never that good. And since the invention of Zoom during the COVID, essentially, that has, you'd say, given everyone a better experience. There's a slight delay, so that if I'm playing the music for the dancers at the other end of the Zoom, they look like they're dancing slightly out of time. So that's why I have them play the music. And then if I'm demonstrating, I play the music. So there are limitations. But you have to say Zoom has created a situation where people can learn successfully, a dance class especially. And I feel that music classes were operating very successfully virtually before the COVID, but dance classes weren't really. You kind of had to show up. But nowadays, the COVID basically forced us to do something else. And the idea of doing a weekly video class, we had very few people who did that before the COVID, but then, like, we had everyone doing it during the COVID. And then we started off with the Zoom class, and we made it work, basically, and we came up with ways of making it work. And so we still have some dancers now who attend sometimes on Zoom, they'd be like, I'm not feeling that well, I'm not coming, like somebody who lives, let's say, you know, outside of Manhattan, they'd be like, I'm just going to attend class on Zoom this evening. And we also have some dancers who live in far-flung places who decide they want to be part of our school, and they attend on Zoom. So now we're doing hybrid classes. Most of our classes, I would say, are hybrid, where we have some people attending in person, and we also have some people attending on Zoom. And so we have had to make it work. And sometimes if somebody's standing in front of the camera, we'll say, excuse me, can you move right or left? You know, and so, you know, it's something that is here to stay, I would say. And it's amazing to think that, like, we're now in a situation where you can actually attend a class in person or you can stay home and attend the class. Like, that was never an option before. And so you'd say there have been some positives out of the COVID. There wouldn't be a long list, but there have been some positives, definitely.
Niall O'Leary, let me... you have... Well, you've had... you were known as a sidekick indeed, you know, for Mr. Maloney. And, but you also had, and have been entertaining, in Paddy Riley's for so many years. And, now of course that's, has new ownership. Are you still going to be associated with Paddy Riley's?
Yes, definitely. While Paddy Riley's was closed, we brought our... So I started this event, Irish Culture Night, back in 2010, and it's basically the only music and dance jam in the Irish tradition in New York City. And so there's basically music and dancing. And we brought it on tour a little bit, only within a radius of a few blocks while Paddy Riley's was closed. It's been Paddy Riley's closed at the end of March, but they're now reopening. And so the new owners, Desi Murray would be the most well-known of the new owners.
Right.
And so they're reopening the bar, and they've done it up. And I just had a tour there last week, and it's looking really good. They redid the bar in a very respectful way. And architecturally speaking, you say, it's very tasteful what they've done, and it's very exciting. And so we're bringing our event back to Paddy Riley's. And as I say, they're just about to reopen, and we're bringing our event back. It's going to be every Thursday. We're starting slightly earlier at 9:30 p.m. And they have this wooden box where we dance on this wooden box, which almost got thrown out in the renovations, I was told, but almost means it didn't. It's still there. And so we have a live music and dance jam with different musical and dance guests every week. And so it's great. It's a great, you'd say, just fun night. And, you know, people just come in and enjoy it. And some people then come in and, like, sing a song, or they can bring in instruments and join in and come in and do a dance. But most people just come in just to experience it, you know. And there's lots of great sessions around the town, but the Thursday night in Paddy Riley's is the only one, really, that has dancing every week.
Right. Well, you know, and you students and... You know, students can be, as you had mentioned there before, a magic number of 80, and that gets a little too close to the bone for some of us. But you have you're still enrolling, you know, new people for in-person, for hybrid, virtual, via Zoom and video, Irish dance classes, music classes. And you know, it is tremendous, and particularly for those, you know, who say, God be with the good old days when, you know, there were dancing schools, and when the, you know, in every parish, you have made that easy, and you know, you're currently accepting new students, children and adults, for all of those.
Absolutely, yes. We're expanding now at the moment, and we're starting some new locations here in New York City, and also around the world in a few different places. And anyone who is looking for help with any Irish dancing, we're always happy to help with other schools and stuff as well, you know. And so I'm very lucky. I get to perform, not just in the dancing, but I play music for these Irish dancing events, and I also adjudicate. So I get to see Irish dancing all over North America, especially. And I must say, it's amazing to go somewhere new and to see so many people passionate about the art form and really getting really good as well. So it's a great, I would say Irish culture is in a very good place in North America at the moment. And there's a lot of dancing schools, as I say, have been hurting over the COVID and are now expanding again. So it's great altogether. But I would say I'm busy on all fronts, and I'm always doing a little bit of architecture as well. We didn't talk about that as much, but I come over here working full time. I worked for a couple of different firms, and then I started my own architectural practice. And so now we're all about the design, and I'm passionate about dance, and I'm passionate about design as well. And so we're always looking to meet people who are interested in design. And I've, over the last couple of years, I've done some house extensions, houses, apartments, offices, and a restaurant, and we're doing some cultural buildings and stuff too. So we're always busy with stuff like that as well. So it's great. It's great to be busy on all fronts.
Yeah, I know it, and I was going to ask you, what do you do on your day off, but you don't have a day off, so it's not an issue anymore.
People ask me if I'm a morning person or a night person, and I suppose the thing is that I'm kind of both, and I'm lucky. I'm someone who sleeps on airplanes, and I sleep in cars, and I'm lucky that most nights I have a good night's sleep, and so that keeps me going to be able to get everything done. So it's definitely a challenge, no doubt about it, but one does one's best.
All right. Email, let me ask you, what is the easiest, or give us options of how we can reach you, and particularly those who are listening who might say, oh my God, I thought that was all, I'm way past the sell-by date. How do we get in touch?
So I would say you could drop us an email. It's ireland@nileoleary.com. That's the country Ireland and the spelling of my name, nilolleary.com. And then I'm also available on all the social media platforms as well. And a Google search, you'll find me as well. So yeah, that's the easiest way to get back to you. And then we can send all the information if anyone's looking to connect with us in any of the above, as they say.
Fantastic. That really is. Congratulations, and every time we think, a lot of people said the same about myself indeed, every time we think, well, that should be it now, you can, it's time to slow it down. I'm sure there are people who say actually that you're worse than I am, in the sense that you keep adding and adding more. Because again of your reputation, you just keep expanding at a time when many of us bemoan the slacking off of Irish culture and dance. So congratulations, keep doing whatever you're doing, and Philadelphia will be indeed, that's not a foreign a place for you.
It's only down the road.
Yeah, and again, what a lot of people do not realize is that Mick Maloney, who was, professor, musicologist, and who had a his day job, was really a professor in New York University, that he actually considered himself and spent a lot of time in Philadelphia over a couple of decades there.
Yeah,
too.
Indeed. He's a house in Germantown for, I think, at least maybe 20 years, yeah, and he was living there full-time right before he moved to New York to become a professor at NYU, absolutely, yeah. So, Mick, and we did a concert back in March 2022, we did a concert in Philadelphia at the Commodore Barry Irish Center, and the place was packed, and it was a load of people who knew Mick over the 20 years or so that he'd lived there, and it was just a great occasion, And so, yeah, so Mick had great ties with Philadelphia, and there's some great people that I know in Philadelphia as well, in different endeavors, and so we're looking to connect the dots and to get everyone excited about the dancing in Savannah, in the center city. There's loads of dancing schools in the state of Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania, Eastern Pennsylvania, but there really wasn't one that had a location right in the center city. So that's what we're doing in Philadelphia, and we're really looking forward to starting classes in September.
Excellent. Okay, thank you, Niall Leary, indeed. And friends, in-person classes, Zoom classes, video classes, and you can follow Niall Leary on Facebook, on Instagram, and Twitter. And again, the website, www.niallleary.com. And is that, yeah, that's it.
Thank you, Adrian.
Okay. Thank you.
Adrian, thank you so much for having me on the program. It's been great having a chat with you. And I have a great chat with you in person over the years, but great to actually get to chat with you on the wireless.
Thank you. Thank you, too. Good luck. And great, friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USAIrishRadio.com, worldwide.